time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, National Media Commission to monitor media coverage of district assembly elections with innovative initiative. Pharmaceutical agencies charged to collaborate to curb influx of fake medicines. Framework for transitional government in Burkina Faso agreed upon. And world leaders arrive in Australia for G20 summit. First, the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
Key tracking indicators that will be used to monitor the activities of the media in the upcoming district assembly elections have been developed. The National Media Commission, with support from the European Union, examined the indicators yesterday and made additions and subtractions to make the system effective at a stakeholders' meeting in Accra. The Ghana Standards Authority has bemoaned the influx of fake medicines into the country. The authority says these drugs are very harmful to human health and can cause death. It has therefore urged pharmaceutical companies to work together to fight the problem. Political, military and civil society leaders in Burkina Faso have agreed on a framework for a transitional government. A spokesman for the group said the charter project was agreed upon unanimously. World leaders are arriving in Australia for this week's G20 summit. The two-day summit will focus on promoting growth, discuss job creation and strengthening the global economy. Tensions with Russia over Ukraine will also draw attention.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The National Media Commission, with the help of the European Union, has developed key tracking indicators that will be used to monitor activities of the media and its coverage of the upcoming district assembly elections. These indicators will monitor the full compliance of the legislation on the district level elections by the media. To assess and validate the indicators, the NMC yesterday met with stakeholders to examine the indicators and make additions and subtractions to make the system effective. Stakeholders from the media, civil society organizations, and decentralization experts lauded the NMC for the initiative and strongly suggested the inclusion of monitoring of the content of stories and how journalists include personal views in stories. Gloria Anderson and Yawet Fanti Amerika participated in the workshop and bring you the details.
The National Media Commission's tracking indicators have three key areas of interest. They look at the monitoring of hate speech, the monitoring of agenda setting by the media, and the monitoring of political elections. These three areas of interest have selected pointers which will guide the monitoring. The Executive Secretary of the NMC, George Sapon, emphasized the need for the media to give attention and coverage to the district assembly elections, especially as decentralization is critical to the country's political and administrative life, which he says defines humanity.
Part of our government is also to track the degree of compliance with the law. So to the extent that from indicates that the law requires that there be a maximum action, a non-maximum action, our the tracking of political action there is just a compliance reflex to see that the slightest sign of any affiliation connected to any candidate which then becomes an issue of compliance. So much of the tracking that we are going to do will also be on the entire legislation covering the local government election to be sure we want to take the media themselves understand and keep the media able to point out breaches of the law as a campaign to go on.
Some participants, however, raised issues with the indicators.
Yes, some people are here, they're supposed to be no passion. But the fact is that there are already some level of transparency going on there. But with regards to the monitoring, I just want to know whether you have factored in this aspect of the indirect involvement of the political actors. Because sometimes we are saying we involved, but not in a very direct way. And the media needs to be elected, some of these things. I want to know whether that has been contributed.
The tracking system will guide the monitoring of all elections and the daily work of the media for the upcoming district elections. The national and rural local media avenues will be monitored. To make the rural monitoring more effective, the EU has acquired mobile monitoring units which will move around the regions to monitor the media coverage.
That report was found by Gloria Anderson and Yawe Santiemrika.
The month of May to August recorded an increase in the violation of the GGA Code of Ethics. A research by the Media Foundation for West Africa revealed a total of 508 ethical breaches. This, according to experts, are fallout from the liberation of the media and an indictment on their mandate. Commenting on the upsurge in violations, the president of the Salt and Light Ministries, Dr. Joyce Ayi, advised the media to be skeptical and think critically when disseminating information. She called on media regulators to reinforce the rules and regulations and sanction anyone who breaches the code. Priscilla Appiah and Patience Kwe have filed this report.
The role of the media is to educate, inform and entertain the public. In recent times, however, the media seem to have diverted their course. Media practitioners now fabricate stories and tarnish the reputation of individuals to the detriment of their profession. Concerns have been raised as to whose duty is to check the violation of media ethics and who allocates frequencies to individuals to operate media houses. It is in this regard that the Graphic Communications Group Limited collaborated with Star Ghana to engage stakeholders and issue a communique to this effect. The president of Salt and Light Ministries, Dr. Joyce Ayi, who was the guest speaker, said democracy will be vibrant if the public is well informed. She challenged media practitioners to exhibit a sense of dignity in their line of duty.
A lot of the journalists have stopped reporting. They want a speech. Excellence requires that we do critical thinking. And it is the critical thinking that will draw us to become ethical. Because when we have critical thinking, we begin to look at issues from the perspective of what we want our news to do. It is important for us to look at the content of what we write and what we put out in the media. And the dignity of our profession is that we must report only what is the truth. That is what gives us. Why do the newspaper always have to be apologizing? Why should it happen when you don't have to do that if you decide to publish the right thing? Because even though truth hurts, if you're publishing something about me and it has verifiable truth, I will be hurt. But how can I hold you responsible for not telling the truth?
The general manager in charge of newspapers, Graphic Communications Group Limited, Yabuedu Ayeboafu, said the media should discharge their duties with integrity to be applauded. He tasked media houses to be careful of what they communicate to the public.
If we do not take the first step of doing what is right and just and fair, we may wake up one day to see a nation that would take away the guarantees that have been provided for in the 1992 Constitution. We must not push this nation to that level because we have benefited from an environment of free media. And we have also experienced the recklessness of an irresponsible media. We have discharged our responsibilities in the manner that Ghanaians will sit and applaud us and say that we are doing our job so well.
The Queen Mother of Efutu traditional area, Nana Amba Eyaba, said because of the vibrant role of the media, government must do anything in its power to protect and enhance the media space.
Priscilla Appiah and Patience Kwe filed that report.
Imani Ghana is demanding that the Auditor General gives an account of the use of his constitutional powers to investigate corrupt acts in the country. It says it finds it difficult to understand why the Auditor General, with all the resources available to the office, fails to exercise its power on the many acts of corruption identified. The Vice President of Imani Ghana, Kofi Bento, explaining why it has resorted to suing the Auditor General on Behind the News, that it wants to know what the Auditor General has used its powers for and to what effect.
Dealing with corruption, not reporting on it. Dealing with it, not recommending that other people deal with it. Dealing with it, not urging people to go and deal with it, including corruption within the presidency. And for that, he has been sufficiently resourced. Our problem with the Auditor General is that for all the years that he has had this power, he has never used it. And if he has used it, we are asking him to tell us when he used it and on whom. And we see every year multiple cases of major instances of corruption, which he is tasked to deal with. He goes to the office every day, he draws fuel and his salary, he has a staff, and he has all the things that help him to do his work, and we don't see him do his work. As citizens of this country, we are urged to be upright and to demand of our leaders that they do their work, and we want to do it lawfully, okay? And that is why we are suing the Auditor General as the law requires us to do,
okay.
Asking him to answer to Ghanaians for his stewardship.
Vice President of Imani Ghana, Kofi Bentro.
Meanwhile, the Deputy Minister for Communications, Felix Kwachi Fosu, says President Mahama has proved beyond mere words his commitment to fighting corruption in the country, citing investigations conducted on the National Service Secretariat on the orders of the President and other steps taken by the President to retrieve monies that were wrongly paid. Mr. Kwachi Fosu insisted that these and other visible actions taken by the government shows that President Mahama is fighting corruption. Speaking on Behind the News, Felix Kwachi Fosu expressed shock that there are still claims that government is not being proactive in fighting corruption. He therefore charged individuals who make such claims to match their claims with evidence.
You see, sometimes we make very sweeping and hasty generalizations in this country. On what basis does anybody say that there is a perception that government has not been proactive? When we make claims, we must match those claims with available evidence on the ground. As far as I know, any time that this government has had opportunity to be told that there is a major instance of corruption anywhere in government, it has acted in a way that discourages the perpetration of corruption. You see, you don't fight corruption through mere rhetoric and platitude. At least I can speak for President Mahama. Any time that his attention has been drawn to an instance of corruption, he has acted. Name any major substantive allegation of corruption that has emerged that President Mahama has not dealt with.
But Imani is worried about the outcome.
But Imani is not the ultimate barometer for assessing whether government has fought corruption or not. When persons motivated by various interests take positions on matters, you must subject those positions to strict scrutiny. When a president orders investigation into the conduct of officers at the National Service Secretariat, and it turns out that 22,000 quotes names have been added onto the payroll of the National Service, and the president takes action, puts those officers before court, and stops that practice and saves the country 7.8 million Ghana cedis a month, how can anybody claim that such a government is not willing to fight corruption? When a president ensures that a leading member of his party, a member of parliament, who has been accused of some wrongdoing regarding the Gida affair, is put before court and prosecuted, how can anybody say that this president has not fought corruption? When a president ensures that monies that were wrongfully paid, steps are taken to retrieve them, how can anybody say that such a president is not fighting corruption?
Yeah, Deputy Minister for Communications, Felix Kwachi Fosu.
Government is pursuing a $97 million initiative that will ensure an efficient and effective national machinery. The initiative, known as E-Transform Project, will change the immigration, health, cabinet, justice and parliamentary systems and how they work. Deputy Minister of Communications, Ato Sapong, who announced this at the Meet the Press series in Accra, said the launch and inauguration of the National Data Commission and Board will be next Tuesday. Joyce Diche reports.
Deputy Minister of Communication, Ato Sapong, spoke about data gathering through technology, saying these, when not well handled, can obstruct peace. Therefore, the importance of Data Protection Commission is to protect individuals to ensure the stability of the country. Mr. Sapong spoke about government's mandate in protecting data of citizens.
We are mandated to protect and promote the interests and privacy of our people. Privacy indeed fortifies our human dignity and guarantees other key rights such as freedom of association and freedom of speech. The question is, do we know where the information that and the data that we exchange daily on the various social networks, various interactions with organizations, etc., do you know where that information goes? Are we privy to who has access to that information? Do you know what our information is being used for? It is therefore in this light that the Ministry of Communication has been particularly instrumental in the passage of key regulations and laws to improve competition, transparency and responsible conduct in the ICT sector.
The National Data Commission will be launched on the 18th of this month. The commission aims, among others, at investigating complaints under the Act and determining them on the basis of an investigation in a manner the commission considers fair. the acting executive director of the commission, Teki Akwete, said telecommunication networks should be the first to contact when one receives threatening messages. She said though there is no representative from the national security apparatus, the commission is in contact with them.
We speak to all government agencies. Gone were the days where we should be afraid of how much information national security collects. You would find out that the amount of information that people outside the security sphere collect, these include individuals, it may be software companies building applications for mobile phones and computers. It's probably a lot more than national security may ever have. And national security concerns can be subject to law, but most of these people are actually operating from the bedroom. So that may have been the reason why the framers did not actually put national security in place.
The board of the commission has a retired Supreme Court judge, Justice Samuel Dateba, as chairman. Other members include the government statistician, Dr. Philomena Nyako, Director General of the National Yamtevi, and the representative of SHRAD, Joseph Wittal.
Joyce Jeter reporting. As many as 46 microfinance institutions collapsed last year due to the depreciation of the cedi, high cost of living, upward adjustments of the capital requirement by Bank of Ghana, and inexperience. According to the council chairman of the Ghana Microfinance Institutions Network, GAMFIN, Emmanuel Dakon, these factors resulted in rampant withdrawals of deposits by clients, leading to the collapse of the institutions. He was speaking at the 6th annual general meeting of GAMFIN in Accra. Doreen Ampofu and Mavis Eduse have filed this report.
This year has witnessed a lot of economic challenges in the country, from the rapid depreciation of the cedi, increases in utilities and low donor support. According to the council chairman of GAMFIN, Emmanuel Dakon, this affected the microfinance industry as many of their clients withdrew their deposits to support their families. He said the sustainability of a microfinance institution depends on its capital base, which guarantees the long-term existence of the institution.
Currently, there are over 1,420 MFIs and 722 individual money lenders and tissue collectors, serving not less than 9 million clients. Due to depreciation of the Ghana cedi in relation to the US dollars and other major foreign currencies, and periodic increase in utilities, the microfinance sector has not been spared. Consequently, most MFI experienced rampant withdrawals of savings. The cumulative effect resulted in closure of 46 MFIs. Bank of Ghana increased the capital adequacy requirement of regulated microfinance institutions. This upward adjustment of the capital requirement by the BOJ became a challenge for some of the MFIs in the short term on how to immediately meet the minimum amount.
Delivering the keynote address on transparency in the microfinance industry, a senior lecturer at the University of Cape Coast, Professor Samuel Kobina-Enim, said the microfinance industry continues to collapse because there are no documents to show how they contribute to poverty reduction.
People are watching out for microfinance institutions that are springing up. They invest within the short period of time, they get their returns, and they know definitely that after a period of time that microfinance institution is going to collapse. We cannot confidently boast of a study that clearly says that microfinance is contributing to poverty reduction. You see pockets of studies here and there, and all that the pockets of studies are doing is telling us whether the particular microfinance institutions are efficient or not. To be transparent, there's a strong need to collaborate with other organizations such as the Ghana Statistical Service, make a case why microfinance issues should be inbuilt in the instrument that they collect on a five-year basis, so that over time we get a national picture of what is happening where.
The annual general meeting was also used to assess the performance of GAMFIN and to also vote for new executives.
Doreen Ampofu and Mavis Eduse found that report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. National Media Commission to monitor media coverage of district assembly elections with innovative initiative. Pharmaceutical agencies charged to collaborate to curb influx of fake medicines. Framework for transitional government in Burkina Faso agreed upon. And world leaders arrive in Australia for G20 summit. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana,
number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. The PR of the Ghana Standards Authority, Dr. Kofi Ampong Sabediakon, says fake medicines are very harmful to human health and can cause death. Speaking on Behind the News, Dr. Ampong Sabediakon said fake medicines are difficult to detect. He urged pharmaceutical companies to collaborate to fight the problem. He spoke to George Asike.
If fake medicines are there, it's like putting a sword to the throat of any person, or the person who is sick. The person might die, or the situation might worsen. So fake medicines are very dangerous, and once the culprits are found out, we need to give them the highest punishment.
So how do I identify that this is a fake medicine?
Well, fake medicine may be identified sometimes when it is too late. For example, it is fake because it makes it look real. And therefore, when you take and take and take, and it doesn't give you the kind of results that it tells you that this is wrong, probably it might have been late. It might be late, and it's likely it may even cost your life or worsen the matter for you. So fake drugs are difficult to detect, and all over the world, if you are deal with this problem, then we need international collaboration at all levels. All the producers of genuine medicines will have to come together and fight this problem.
The head PR of the Ghana Standards Authority, Dr. Kofi Ampong Sabediakon.
Government has committed an additional 150 million cedis to fight HIV and AIDS. Speaking at the 2014 Partnership Forum of the Ghana AIDS Commission in Accra, the chairman of the commission, Pakwesi Misasa, who was represented, said government will engage in high-level advocacy and also avail itself to provide the kind of political leadership required to achieve set targets, especially getting to zero levels in relation to mother-to-child transmission. Irabna Paha and Richard Terrier have the details.
As part of the mandate to coordinate the national HIV and AIDS response, the Ghana AIDS Commission in November each year conveys a partnership forum to review progress on the implementation of HIV and AIDS programs and activities. This year's forum, which is focusing on getting to zero and accelerating the national response towards the MDGs on health, is looking at current updates on the results of the midterm review from 2011 to 2015. Vice President Mr. Arta is the chairman of the Ghana AIDS Commission. He was represented by the Trade and Industry Minister, Mutala Mohammed.
Innovation is the key to ensuring that the response does not suffer and lives are not lost. The government will continue with this high-level advocacy on issues related to HIV and provide the political leadership required to ensure that we achieve a situation where HIV and AIDS are virtually eliminated in Ghana. The post-2015 strategic direction of one, ensuring that at least 90% of Ghanaians know their HIV status. Ensuring that 90% of Ghanaians who are diagnosed HIV positive, particularly women, are on sustained antiretroviral treatment. And ensuring that 90% of those on antiretrovirals have an undetectable viral load.
Despite challenges, especially finance, the Ghana AIDS Commission recorded some progress. Angela Eladas is the Director General of the Commission.
In our quest for zero, Ghana has made significant progress towards the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals 4, 5, and 6. We have recorded consistent declining trends in general adult prevalence of HIV over the past decade. The relatively low prevalence of 1.3 translates into 224,488 persons living with HIV and AIDS in Ghana, of which 15.4% are children. We have seen a consistent reduction in new HIV infections from a baseline of 25,000 in 2009 to 7,812 new infections in 2013, we have achieved at least 76% coverage of PMCCT services for pregnant women.
Ravna Pahan, Richard Terrier, found that report. The third prosecution witness in the trial of the former MP from Kranza, Erica Martin, has completed his evidence at the Accra Circuit Court. The witness, Assistant Superintendent of Immigration, Frank Anane, was mentioned by the second witness, Barbara Inkum, as the one she contacted to assist her acquire the passport, which was allegedly forged and used by Amwating. According to the prosecution, Barbara's photograph was originally on the passport, but was substituted for that of the former MP. assistant superintendent Anane said in 2008 he was asked by Barbara's mother in Kufudria to assist her daughter acquire a passport. He said Barbara forwarded all the necessary documents to him in Accra, which he also submitted to the passport office and monitored the process till the passport was issued. He said he called Barbara's mother twice to inform her of the completion of the document, but after some time, he lost contact with her and therefore did not hear from her again. The immigration officer could therefore not tell whether Barbara received the passport or not. Barbara, during her evidence, denied receiving the document. Both witnesses also denied any involvement with Amwate.
In foreign news, a framework for a transitional government in Burkina Faso has been agreed upon after talks between political, military and civil leaders. A spokesman for the talks in Ouagadougou said the charter project was agreed on unanimously. The transitional body is intended to return the country to civilian rule and prepare for elections. The army took power after President Blaise Compaoré was forced to resign on 31st October amid mass protests. Both soldiers and civilians agreed on a civilian transition.
World leaders are arriving in Australia for this weekend's G20 summit in the Queensland city of Brisbane. The two-day summit, to be attended by the US, Chinese and Russian leaders, among others, will focus on promoting growth. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott said the leaders would discuss job creation and strengthening the global economy. Tensions with Russia over Ukraine will also draw attention, while campaigners want climate change on the agenda.
To end in the main point again, the National Media Commission has developed new tracking indicators for the monitoring of the media in its coverage of the upcoming district assembly elections. The indicators, according to the NMC, will be used to monitor the full compliance of the legislation on the district-level elections by the media. The Ghana Standards Authority has drawn attention to the difficulty that exists in detecting fake drugs and its impact on the country's medical system. The authority is therefore calling on pharmaceutical companies to collaborate with its officers to fight the entry of fake drugs into the country. And key actors in Burkina Faso have unanimously agreed to a framework for a transitional government. The transitional body is expected to return the country to civilian rule and prepare for elections. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.